Have you ever had someone say to you, I'm sorry, but I don't want a God of wrath? That's all I heard about when I was growing up in church, about an angry God. Precious one, he is an angry God, but it is a justified anger. But he is also a God of loving kindness. He is a God of compassion. And his anger only comes on those who refuse his love in the person of Jesus Christ. When you study Jeremiah chapter 25, it is very clear God is going to give the nations the cup of the wine of his wrath. But it's not something that he is eager to do. And you see in Jeremiah chapter 26, even during those beginning years of Jehoiakim, as God gets ready to bring Nebuchadnezzar down against Jerusalem in three sieges, God is still, he has the cup of the wrath in one hand and he has the other hand stretched out to them saying, repent, return, turn from your ways, let them go, and I won't have to give you the cup of the wine of my wrath. Will they listen? Will they listen? Think today. You're telling people about God. You're telling them about his love. You're warning them about his judgment. They look at what's happening in the nations of the world. We look at what's happening in the United States of America. And in a sense, it is very obvious to me that God has written Ichabod over our nation. I really believe that. I don't want to believe it. I've been trying to say, oh no, oh no, oh no. But it is time to wake up and listen to what God says. Well, as we bring Jeremiah chapter 25 to a close, we move into Jeremiah 26. And what I want to do is I want to show you Jeremiah 25 opens up with Jeremiah saying, I have been speaking to you for 23 years. He will speak for another approximately 20 years. For another 20 years, he is going to warn these people. 40 years of warning God's people, of telling them to listen to his word, to believe them, to believe what God says. And they don't do it. And so he has told him in Jeremiah chapter 25, if you do not listen, then God is going to send Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to destroy the city. You are going to become a whore. You are going to become a hissing. And then God is going to judge the nations, not just the nations surrounding you. Oh, he will judge those. And this is what Jeremiah is doing. He is carrying out his mission from God, his commission from God to speak to the nations, to pluck up, to tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, and then to build and to plant. And so he's fulfilling his ministry. But he also said, you didn't not just not listen to me. You haven't been listening to the other prophets. He says in verse 31 of Jeremiah 25, a clamor has come to the end of the earth because the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He is entering into judgment. And when you mark the nations, you have to mark this the same way, with all flesh. It says, as for the wicked, he has given them to the sword, declares the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, evil is going forth from nation to nation to nation. And that's what you see happening right now. You see the nations of this world thinking that they can build a United Nations, that they can bring peace on earth, that they are so smart, and all they want to do is shut up the Christians and get rid of them, put them to death. And you see this in so many Muslim countries. You see it in Hindu countries, etc. And then he says this. He says, a great storm is being stirred up from the remotest parts of the earth. Those slain by the sword, by the Lord on that day, will be from one end of the earth to the other. They will not be lamented, gathered, or buried. They will be like dung, manure on the face of the ground. And then he says, wail, you shepherds, and cry. Wallow in ashes, you masters of the flock, for the day of your slaughter and your dispersions has come. Now, when you mark verse 34 all the way down through verse 36, what you want to do is you want to make sure that you mark every reference to the shepherds. And this is what I do, is I draw like a crook, just like a shepherd's staff. And I do that in my Bible. And you can see him talking to the shepherds of Israel in Jeremiah 23. Here he's talking to all the rulers. He's talking to all the political leaders. And this is what he says. Wail, you shepherds, and cry. Wallow in ashes, you masters of the flock. To wallow in ashes means that you're in mourning, you're in grieving. He says, for the days of your slaughter and your dispersions has come. You will fall like a choice vessel. So many times what happens in the politics and of the political arenas is you have these men that are horrible and vicious and self-serving, and they're heads of countries, and they imprison and they murder and they slaughter. You look at Idi Amin, you look at the history of Russia, you look at Mussolini, you look at Hitler, you look at all these people and all the deaths that happen at their hands, and you think, and they're living in luxury, and they're not, they're spared of all this pain. Oh no, God says, there is a day coming when the shepherds will wail. They will not escape, is what he's saying. Flight will perish from the shepherds. You won't get away and escape from the masters of the flock. Hear the sound of the cry of the shepherds and the wailing of the masters of the flock. It says, for the Lord is destroying their pasture. This is where they ruled. But God's going to come in and he's going to sweep across where they ruled, and he's going to deal with those shepherds. It says, and the peaceful folds are made silent. Now watch, because of the fierce anger of the Lord. I mark anger by taking a fine point micro pen in my Bible, and I just put my hand back and forth and back and forth and put almost like the shape of a C around anger. And sometimes I color it yellow so that I know that it is the anger of God, because yellow is my color for God, because he's the light of the world and he's the light of life. It says, he has left his hiding place like the land. He says, like the lion, for their land has become a whore. In other words, the lion has roared. Who can but fear? So he has left his place like the lion, for their land, the shepherd's land, another crook there, has become a horror because of the fierceness of the oppressing sword. And once again, a red slash through sword, and because of his fierce anger. And the message ends. The fourth year of Jehoiakim. And the message ends. But what I want you to see and what I want to do is I want to take a quick run with you. If you have your chart of all the kings and the prophets, the historical context, the setting of the book of Jeremiah, you know that Nahum, the prophet, was the prophet that came to Nineveh. And he came to Nineveh and he brought this prophecy. And listen to what he says, because I want you to see that it wasn't just Jeremiah. You know, when I talk to people around the country, and I happened to be on a prayer meeting with Christian leaders for 2 hours on like a conference call, praying for our nation, crying out on behalf of our nation before God. People are burdened, and you see this all over. You turn on the news and you see the alarm. You hear the alarm, and some people think, oh, it's ridiculous. You better hear the alarm, you all. And so in Nahum, the prophet, this is what he says in verses 2 and 3, a jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes a vengeance on his adversaries. He reserves wrath for his enemies. There is a protection, or there is the grace to take a believer through trials. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. You can escape the wrath of God by running into the arms of Jesus Christ, by claiming that he is God, by believing that he's the Son of God, by believing that he's the Savior, by receiving him, by turning from your sins, repenting and having a change of mind and saying, you are God, not me. And I confess my sins and I need a Savior, and then he will come to your rescue. But if you are guilty, if you refuse to do that, he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is his way, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. The next time, look up at the clouds and just know that they are the dust of his feet. Look at verse 6. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by him. You see, all hell really breaks loose on the earth with the 7 bowls of wrath that are poured out on the earth. They are poured out in rapid succession. They are poured out 3.5 years before Jesus Christ subdues all the kingdoms of this earth and becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But listen to the contrast. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. The Lord is good. He's your stronghold. So you can choose either the goodness of God or the wrath of God. We'll talk about it when we come back. Hope that you have ordered your inductive study Bible. It is the one true study Bible of all the Bibles that have ever been called study Bibles, because it teaches you how to discover truth for yourself. A lot of study Bibles, most study Bibles, are a commentary on the text. We have a multiplicity of those. You can get all sorts of doctrine, but you've got to know truth for yourself. Well, in the beginning of this Bible, there is one of the most powerful, or enlightening tools for those that are going to study the Word of God. And it is the history of Israel chart. And when you get this Bible, you can look down at the time of Jeremiah and you can see his contemporaries. Well, we saw that when Jeremiah was prophesying, Nahum had also been prophesying. Nahum prophesied from 650 to 620 BC. And then Zephaniah followed him. And what I want you to see is that God is bringing this message from all directions. He's doing the same thing in the United States of America. He's trying to wake us up to the reality of what is going on. In Zephaniah comes along in 636 to 623 BC. He's a minor prophet. And Zephaniah comes and he says in verse 2, speaking for God, I will completely remove all things from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. In verse 14, it says, near is the day of the Lord, near and coming quickly. Listen in the day of the Lord. In it, the warrior cries out bitterly. A day of wrath is that day, a day of trouble and distress, and destruction and desolation. And then he says, all the earth will be devoured in the fire of his jealousy in verse 18. And so God is going to bring distress on men, on all those that have sinned. And this is the message of Zephaniah. You come to the second chapter. And in this message of the wrath of God coming, he makes this appeal in verse 3 of chapter 2. It says, seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have carried out his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And then in chapter 3, in verse 8, he says, therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up as a witness. Indeed, my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out my indignation for all the, my burning anger for all the earth will be devoured. All these other prophets are saying the same thing in essence as he was saying. And then you come to Habakkuk, the prophet. And when you go to Habakkuk, you find that Habakkuk is saying, and Habakkuk prophesies from 621 to 609. 609 is when Carchemish falls. And here he is naming that the kingdom of the north is Babylon. He says in verse 5, as he's complaining, Habakkuk is complaining to God because of the injustice, because the law is not upheld, because destruction and violence, that their society is so messed up, just like America. And then God speaks and he says, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days that you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. In Habakkuk chapter 2, you find Habakkuk saying, I will stand at my guard post, station myself on the rampart. I will watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may answer him. And the Lord says to him, listen carefully, record the vision. Inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run, just as Luther in those days took his thesis and nailed it against the door of the church. And the people came and they ran and they spread the word. It was a Reformation word. The just will live by faith. So God is saying to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, in the midst of all of this that is coming, in the midst of the fact that I am bringing the Babylonians against you, a fierce and impetuous people, in the midst that I am going to judge you, this is what you do. You write down the vision so that people can read that vision. And in reading that vision, they can take that message and they can run with it. That is the purpose, beloved, of this program. That's the purpose. This is what I want you to know. I want you to know truth. I want you to read it. I want you to take it. And I want you to share it with others. And this is what they were to do. And what was the word? It says, but as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. I want you to take the vision. I want you to know, though it hastens towards the goal, it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. In other words, I am watching over my word to perform it, as God says to Jeremiah in chapter 1. Even though it tarries, it will come to pass. And that is God's word to us, beloved. And this was God's word through Habakkuk. Then he comes along with Daniel. And what does he do with Daniel? With Daniel, he gives Daniel this vision of the statue standing there that shows the times of the Gentiles from Babylon all the way down to the toes of the statue when the stone comes and crushes the statue. It's a picture of God judging all the earth and Jesus Christ coming as the Son of Man and receiving a kingdom and becoming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all the nations of the earth are no more, because His is the only kingdom. His is the only nation. This is where we're headed for. And this is what he wants them to understand. And that's why the shepherds are to wail. They are to wail because their kingdoms are coming to an end. Because their power, the right arm of their power, is going to be broken. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And you either bow the knee and you submit to him, or you receive his judgment. Yes, he's a loving God. And his love has been extended to you, and he has expressed it in a way that is beyond comprehension. God so loved you, precious one, that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish. You will die. Unless he comes in your lifetime, you will die. But the minute that you die, because Christ is in you, you are absent from the body and you are present with the Lord. You see Jesus. You see Jesus, and you then are clothed in robes of righteousness, and you are going to come with him when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he comes to rule over the face of the earth. And every knee bows, and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. God loved you so much that he had his Son, who knew no sin, to be made sin for you, that you in turn might have forgiveness of sins and a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, so that all your debt of your sin might be wiped out and you might be totally and absolutely forgiven. And you might move from a kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from the power of Satan to the kingdom of God, that you might move from death to life, to the gift of eternal life. Beloved, this is the message, and you have a choice. Righteousness or wrath, you make the decision.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Beloved, are you listening? This is our time when we discover what is our precept for life. The very first precept for life that leads to life is that you must receive Jesus Christ. As many as receive Jesus, to them he gives the power, the authority to become the children of God. You become a child of God. Jesus comes to live inside of you. God the Father comes to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And they will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me." I want us to go back in this precept for life to the book of Habakkuk. I want to show you the end of that book. I love these verses. Habakkuk ends with a prayer that talks about the coming of the Lord and the Lord raging against the rivers and in his wrath and anger against the sea and riding on horses and coming for salvation. And then it says in verse 16, "I heard and my inward parts trembled at the sound. My lips quivered and decay enters my bones, and in my place I must tremble because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us." In other words, yes, it will happen. And then he says this, and this is your precept for life: "Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in God, my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and he makes me walk on my high places. Though the fig tree should not blossom, I will make it. No matter if there's cattle in the stalls, no matter if I lose a lot, I will rejoice in God. He makes my feet like hinds' feet on the high places. I will not fall." That is your precept for life.
Thank you for watching today. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.